And the reading for today is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this: God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
May I speak in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Remember the 15th of January this year. It may seem a long time ago, it may seem just like yesterday. And maybe you weren't here on that Sunday, but what we did is we had a brief service all together, and then we had coffee and tea and juice out in the Welcome Centre. Then we came back and we turned the chairs into little circles. We gathered together in groups. And we talked about growth in terms of our church. We asked a few questions. Where is our church growing already? Where do we feel God wants our church to grow? We also asked a question about if you could sum up the vision, the values, the purpose, the real heart of this church, if you could sum it up in just a few words, maybe two or three or four words, what would those words be? And these are some of the suggestions we got. Grow with God was one of them. Let's grow together. Growth was on the agenda. Moving on with God was another. Then there was a clever one. Cha. What's missing? You are. Do you get it? Church. It's the word church with "you are" missing in the middle. You have to labour it a bit, but you get the point. Another one was welcome, teaching, healing. It's very good, isn't it? I like this one. Free wine on Sundays. And then there's a good one that all starts with the same letter here. Repent, renew, rejoice. It's good, isn't it? All for Jesus. Nice and simple. Serving God and the community. Acceptance of each other. A lively, lovely church where things happen. That's a bit more than a few words, but you get the point. Love, welcome, save. And we took all these, and there were others as well. That's just a summary of them. There were even more than that. And as a group, as the kind of Lysig group, we had to get together and think, well, what is our strap line going to be? You might remember Malcolm talking about the man who was a cleaner at the space station when they were trying to get a man onto the moon, and how somebody had asked him, you know, what's your job? And he was just sweeping up, and he said, my job is to help get a man onto the moon. And we love this idea that everybody can remember this simple short phrase, and everyone can say, that's what St. Andrew's Church is about. And so we took all those suggestions and all those words, we prayed about it and talked about it for a while, and this is what we came up with. St. Andrew's Church, loving and growing. And it's big and it's open, and it's deliberately very open, because it's not a mission statement. It doesn't say enough to be a mission statement, does it? Loving and growing. It's really what you call a strap line. And what I like about it is the fact that those words can be understood by people from outside the church. Whereas some words that we might want to use, like if we want to talk about growing in discipleship, or if we want to talk about moving on in God's presence or encountering the Holy Spirit, all these things to people inside the church mean a lot to us, but to people outside the church don't really mean anything. They can seem excluding for them. So what I like about loving and growing is that it's for everybody. Everybody knows what love means, and everybody knows what it means to grow, at least in some kind of aspect. They know what growth means. So we've decided that as a church, what we're about for the next however long, I don't know, we might change it in a few years, but for now, what we're about is loving and growing. And I think that that's open enough that everybody can get on board with it. It's deliberately broad, and it doesn't use churchy language. And essentially, it is all about Jesus, isn't it? Because that's what Jesus is all about. He's all about loving people. That's what he showed us in the way that he lived his life, the way that he died for us, the way that he rose again. All that he's about in bringing about his kingdom is all about loving and growing. And what's great about these two words is we can take them and we can explore them a bit further. So we can come down to the real heart of Jesus' message when he said, the most important thing that you need to do is to love God with everything you have. He says, with your heart, soul, mind and strength. With everything you have, love God and love others. That's what Jesus said, isn't he? Love God and love others. So that's what the loving bit is about. It's about loving God and about loving others. Others inside the church, others outside the church, others around the other side of the planet. Everybody. That's what we're called to do. Even our enemies, Jesus tells us to love. So it's about loving. And then secondly, about growing. It's about growing in our faith. It's about growing in hope, the hope we have for the new heaven and new earth, for the resurrection, for the kingdom that is coming, the hope that we have in a world that seems pretty hopeless at times. It's about growing in that. It's about growing in love, of course, which we've already mentioned. It's also about growing in numbers. Somebody said to me when we started exploring this theme of growing and leading your church into growth, someone said, oh, the problem is it's all about bums on seats. But the thing is about bums on seats is that those bums belong to human beings. Human beings who God made and who God loves. So yes, it is about bums on seats, because those bums were created by God. That was going to be our strapline. Your bum matters. But we decided to go with loving and growing instead. So count yourself lucky. Imagine the logo for that. No, let's not. And finally, it's about growing disciples. We realised a few weeks ago, didn't we, when we've been looking at Scripture, that actually Jesus never said grow the church. He didn't tell us to do that. He didn't say go and build big churches, make sure you fill them with people, go and plant new churches. He didn't say that. Jesus said go and make disciples. And that's what we need to do. We recognise actually something that we're missing a bit from the culture of our church, from the life of our church, is that we don't really have a focus on making disciples and growing disciples. So I think in the coming years, that's something that we're hoping to focus on. I'm hoping to build a small staff team, and I'd love for somebody on that staff team to have an oversight of how we make and grow disciples. That staff team, by the way, will probably be volunteers rather than paid people, just so you know. Now I want to talk about a triangle. There's a triangle. I'm sure you all recognise that shape. My two-year-old Ted can now say, triangle! So he recognises a triangle. And the triangle is useful because it's easy to remember, it's simple, and yet it can tell us something really important about how Jesus lived his life. And because we're Jesus people, we need to look at how Jesus lived his life and we need to follow it. That's what being a disciple is all about. So when we look at the way Jesus lived his life, we start to see a triangle appearing. Maybe you've read the Gospels and you've never seen the triangle before, but from now on, I promise you, you will start to see the triangle. And the triangle works a bit like this. Jesus prioritised his upward relationship. That is, his relationship with God the Father. Again and again in the Gospels, we find that Jesus took time to be with God. Even when his disciples were getting it all wrong and he kind of should have been focusing on them, and the crowds were coming towards him and there were sick people everywhere and he knew he could heal them, still, he took time out to be alone with God. We read that Jesus got up early in the morning and went onto a mountainside to pray and to be with his Father. We find that Jesus got into a boat to get away from the crowds, that he kept on his journey and he kept connecting with the Father. And in fact, he said, I don't do anything on my own. It's all through the Father. So this upward dynamic of Jesus' relationship was really important. It sustained him and it kept him going in his ministry. So that's the first dynamic. The second dynamic is an inward dynamic. This is another corner of the triangle. And the inward dynamic is about Jesus' relationship with his disciples. So even though he had all that crowd around him, he chose deliberately to focus on just a few. A 12, a little bit more, for some of those around the edges, and then a certain 3 as well. And he really homed in on those people. And we see that Jesus prioritised that. That actually it was important for him to be in that kind of small community. Community where he could hear people and he could speak and they could share and they could love one another. That size of group is really important in our walk with Jesus. It's no good just coming to a church where there's, you know, 80 people every Sunday. We need to be in a smaller group where we can share what's going on in our lives, where we can be honest and open, where we can be accountable, where we can receive and give love. That's a really important part of our journey with God, and it was a really important part of Jesus' ministry. He lived life with those people, he shared life with those people, had meals with them, slept at their houses, did life with them. So that's the other corner. And then the third corner is the outward dimension. And that's when Jesus did his mission, his ministry, when he went out and he healed people and he spoke to large crowds and he spoke to individuals and he gave of himself. That's the outward dynamic. And what we see in Jesus' life and ministry is that there's a balance of all those three. I think it's called an equilateral triangle. Is that right? It's a long time since I did maths and shapes at school, but I think that's an equilateral triangle. Sometimes we can become obtuse. That's when one angle is longer. And usually for most of us, we probably find that we're better at one of those than the other, that maybe we really like coming to church and worshipping and singing songs and we like spending time in prayer, so we're good at the upward bit. Or maybe we're a real extrovert and we love being with people, and so we're really good at the inward bit, you know, at sharing and talking and we can't stop talking, and maybe that's us. Or maybe, this is a bit more rare, but maybe you're a real outward person and you're always giving of yourself and you're always visiting people who are sick and you're always doing things and you're always leading things. But you need to make sure we have all these things in balance. So we see this in Jesus' life. We need to apply it to our own life, but we also need to apply it to how we operate as a church. And so we can see this in loving and growing. So if we apply the Jesus triangle to the loving dynamic of our church, we know that in our upward dynamic, we need to make sure that we have a priority on worship and prayer and Bible study, on getting to know God our Father, that upward dynamic. We need to make sure we're also good at the inward dynamic, at loving each other within the church, at pastoral care. And we're hoping to appoint somebody to be a pastoral care coordinator soon, because I find it hard to know who needs visiting, who hasn't been visited, who's visiting who. It's all just a bit of a mess at the moment. So we're hoping to coordinate that a bit better so that nobody falls through the net, so that we can care for and love for people, not just people who can make it to church, but those who can't as well. So we need to focus on our inward relationships. Small groups are a really important part of this, because that's where a lot of the discipleship will happen. So we need to focus on our small groups and how we love and support each other in those. And then, of course, our outward dynamic, loving others, loving our community, loving the networks, wherever we live or work or whatever networks we have. How do we love people in those kind of situations? The family, our families and friends. How do we love the poor and those in need? I think that's something that we need to look at as a church. Where is God calling us to serve and love the poor? Because that's clearly a hugely important thing for Jesus, and it needs to be a hugely important thing for us as a church. How do we love and serve the poor and those in need? And then you can also apply this to the growing element, the up in and out of our growing church. So we need to grow in faith, we need to grow in our relationships with each other, and we need to grow in our mission, in our outreach, in looking out beyond these walls. And as part of leading your church into growth, the next thing we need to do, now we've got this kind of strap line, this sense of who we are, we need to look at doing a map, which is a mission action plan, a map. And they advise that you do this as a two-year plan. Don't try and plan for 10 years. Just look at 2 years. And so we've been looking at the next couple of years and thinking, what can we do? How can we go forward? And part of this was looking at what do we already do in terms of local mission. And there's loads that happens. Here's a list of things that I came up with, and I'm sure I've missed some things. We do Family Spot. We do Plus and Luncheon Club for those that are older. We do Tuesday Group for those with special needs. We do Praying on the Streets. We do Mother's Union, the Sanctuary Space at Starbeck Primary School, Holiday at Home, the Welcome Centre, Spa Muse and Belmont House, Pastoral Visiting, High Street Presence and Prayer, Youth and Children's Work. Whew! We're a busy church, aren't we? In a sense, we don't need to be doing any more. In a sense, we kind of need to be doing less, I think. Dare I say it, I think we need to be doing less. But actually, when we looked at what we're doing as a church, when we looked at what we're about, there were some things missing. And I think the things that we've discovered that are missing, and maybe if you're doing the Leipzig material in your small group, you might have discovered this as well. The thing that we're missing is stepping stones. We're missing some stepping stones. What I mean by stepping stones are those events that connect people from outside the church into the life of who we are and what we're about as a church. So an example of this would be the event that's coming up called Pints of View. We asked people, what kind of thing would your non-Christian wife or husband or partner come to? And they said, oh, well, if you do beer, they'd probably come. So we're doing an event with beer. So Daleside Brewery, actually they're going to give us away free beer. It's amazing, I don't know how that's happened. But they're going to give us free beer for tasting, and a brewer's going to come and talk about the process if you're interested in that sort of thing. And then we're going to have a time where anyone can ask any question they want. And I've ordered some beer mats. people can write on the back of, and then they can submit their questions. Or if they're brave, they can say it out loud. And we're going to have a go at answering these questions. Some of them we might not be able to answer, but it'll be fun trying to. And this is a kind of stepping stone event, because at that event, we can then invite people to Alpha. So if you've got further questions, they can come and explore faith and the meaning of life on the Alpha course, which will be running at the beginning of May. So these stepping stones help people and invite people. We can't force anybody. It's not forced, is it? It's an invitation. We say, come and explore, come and find out about the Christian faith. So those stepping stones are the things that we're going to put in. So that's our two-year plan. As we look forward, we're going to be adding things to that two-year plan and maybe taking things away. We know we were learning about growth, about pruning and growing. Sometimes you have to take some things away in order to grow. So there might be some pruning as well. And as we know, that can be painful. But that brings us all to this morning's reading. In this morning's reading, we have Peter. We have Peter, who is talking to a huge crowd, and he tells them about Jesus, about his death and resurrection. And the hearers say, what shall we do? They're amazed by this message, and they want to know how they should respond. And this is how Peter replies. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What shall we do? They ask. He says, repent, which means to turn around or to get your life back on track. You know deep down that you were made for a relationship with God. Well, this is your opportunity to live life with God, because it's all changed now. You don't have to be a Jew. You don't have to follow these certain rules. It's for everybody. Jesus has made a way for everybody. So turn around and accept this way. And then secondly, he says, be baptized in the name of Jesus. Do something to mark this change in your life, because nothing's going to be the same again. So do something to mark it. And thirdly, receive the Holy Spirit. That song we just sang, sending your spirit until the work on earth is done. That's why God comes and lives amongst us and lives within us as church, because he has work for us to do. We're here for the adventure of life with God. God is on a mission, and he's inviting us all to join him in this mission. That's what loving and growing is all about. And we need the Holy Spirit within us. And we're going to be doing some teaching on the Holy Spirit this spring. And then Peter goes on, and I love this bit. He says, this promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off. So he says, this is for you. It's a personal thing. It's for you. But it's also for your children. It's for the generations that are to come. And we have a real love and a real focus here on young people, don't we? And we love the younger generations, and we love seeing them growing in faith. They have things to teach us about what it means to love and to grow. He says it's for you, it's for your children, but it's also for all, it's for everybody, and even those who are far off. And to me, far off does mean around the other side of the planet and people who are far off in that sense, but also it means those who live around the corner from this church, but to us, they seem so far away from God. You know, they're swimming in this kind of secular pool of existence, and you think, well, they're never going to come to church. But no, this message is for them. This is for them. Or maybe you feel far off. Maybe you're in a place where you're like, I'm coming to church, and I'm hearing these sermons, and we sing these songs, but I feel so far away. This is for you. The Holy Spirit has been given to live inside you, to give you hope and love in your darkest times. This is a message for all. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you showed us how to live, and that through your death and resurrection, you have made a way for us to live free from sin, free from the power of death and darkness. And we thank you, Lord, that you don't even leave us there, that you then invite us to join you in the mission of bringing your kingdom to earth. Lord, would you help us to be a church that is loving and growing? Would you continue to teach us what that means? Would you help us to love those who are far away? Help us to love the poor. Help us to love those who are hurting and suffering. Lord, help us to be your agents of grace and peace and love and hope. Fill us with your Holy Spirit to equip us for this work. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.